At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. Okay, so welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, season 2. This is our biblical Easter eggs episode, and we're in letter number 9. Purpose of all these episodes is to find where C.S. Lewis used references from the Bible, use scripture to actually, I think, hone and focus in on the episode. And it started with the incarnation in letter 1 and has moved forward. And if you've been listening recently, and thank you for all the comments that we've had on these letters, it's great to actually hear from people too. But here we are, Galen, letter 9, and it's dealing with undulation, but it's dealing with the troughs of undulation and the influences that the demonic can have on us during those troughs.
Right. And obviously undulation, life has its highs, life has its lows, but apparently the young man, relatively new believer, is going through a season where maybe things aren't going so well. And even beyond that, it's I also get the sense that maybe his faith is getting a little boring to him. You know, kind of maybe the honeymoon phase of life in Jesus and coming to faith that's kind of coming to an end, and life is getting a little bit boring. And this is where Satan's coming in to kind of tempt the guy. And let's pull him away with, you know, looking at a number of different other pleasures, because there's a great way to tempt something when they're kind of at the depressive lull that life has at times.
So when I was listening to this one, and it made me think of the times around our table with the men that we worship together and we pray together and we talk about life together, and the struggles that each of them are going through and the tests that each of them are going through. And when you're going through a test and when you're going through a struggle, you're in a trough naturally, right? So right. Here they are, they're in this trough, and a lot of what they struggle with is worldly stuff. And I think within this story, like early on, that C.S. Lewis is pointing to that, you know, this guy's trying to find his place. He's maybe, I think we've said before, is he in his early 20s? Is he in his late teens? Because we look at a teenager today and they're 18, 19, and we call them a boy. Back in right. The late 30s, early 40s, they are a man at that right. point in time. Right. So I'm thinking he's somewhere in or around there. But so he's getting his life together. He's looking for a wife. He's looking for a partner. He's looking for possessions, what he's going to do with his life. And the line that stuck out to me straight away was from Mark 8:36, which is, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Because in this area within here, I really feel that like the battle is between those possessions, those physical things of the world. And are you going to basically sell your soul to get those things?
Right. Because I mean, a lot of times when you're in that depressive season of life or going through a lull, You're going to reach out for something to fill a gap. You're going to reach out for something to bring that hit of dopamine, bring that joy, whether it's something quick, short-term or fleeting, or even another pursuit, a hobby, you know, just something to devote your time and energy to that isn't really a worthy thing. That ultimately we do find ourselves exchanging a greater glory, which is, hey, first of all, life is going to come back on the up, and I'm not going to compromise on my walk. I'm not going to compromise on my character or anything like that, to exchange a greater glory for lesser glories, which is that phrase, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And definitely that's something we wrestle with when we're in the trough seasons of life. And it's what the demonic uses to tempt us, and which is what Screwtape is pointing out. And he says there's a lot of ways you can tempt a man with things when he's high. You can tempt a man with things when he's low. The strategy is different, but ultimately the materialistic pursuits or finding meaning in things that aren't really God-centered is kind of one of the biggest common denominators.
Yeah, and C.S. Lewis points this out as well, and I think we can all relate to this, that when we're in those troughs, your faith can waver. And when your faith wavers, that is an opening for the demonic to come in and tempt you with maybe perversions or things that you think are going to make you happy, like you said, short term, that are actually you wouldn't consider when you're on a high.
Right.
Yeah, because
because he points this out in the chapter as well. You might not consider it if you're on a high because life is going good. Or when you're on a high, you're a lot stronger of a man and stronger of a person so that you can resist the temptation better. He talks about tempting him with sexuality.
Yes.
Well, he says, you know, it's easy to tempt someone when they're on a high, tempt them to sin because life is going well. They're, you know, everything's going good and a lot more energy to dispose of, might be able to tempt them with sexuality, but that energy could be used to strengthen the man. It's a lot easier to tempt him, you know, with sexual things. When he's in that depressive mode, he can look to it as a coping mechanism to unpack one of the specific things that he talks about in this letter.
When you are on a high and you're a Christian walking with Jesus, you tend to have a sense of thankfulness for everything that you have. And maybe this is a folly where people will say, God, you gave me all of this. But then when they're in the trough, they're like, God, where are you? So it's within that undulation, I think you have to have the constant. We've talked about this before, where the constant line through the middle and the highs are above it and the troughs are below it is Jesus Christ. That right. needs to stay constantly there. Some of the things you get in life, maybe God didn't give you. You got them through your toil. God helped you with positioning and you can thank him for it. Great. But then when you're in that trough, don't go to Psalm 22 where it's, you know, Lord, why have you forsaken me?
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Right. You know, it's and anyone who hasn't read Psalm 22, read it through and you can see how someone who was faithful all of a sudden is in a trough, in a dark place, and now cries out to God. And so for me, Mark 6:36 and also Psalm 22, that stood out to me as the two biblical Easter eggs for me in there. And I know, Galen, you had a different thought on this as well, but that's where I was seeing it and I'm reading it. And this is what I love about these letters is, five people could read it five different ways.
Right. Well, there are, it's funny. The first time I read through this, nothing big, huge jumped out. And then the more we started talking about, I saw a bunch of these others, but I do think I want to unpack Psalm 22 a little bit. Cause I do think that's a pretty good Easter egg. Cause again, we're talking about the troughs. Seems to be where this guy is in this chapter. And it's kind of the theme of here. But that it is a normal thing for children of God and for God's people to go through the trough seasons. And Psalm 22, it's a Psalm of David. It's a messianic Psalm. So it's kind of when you read the Psalms, they're kind of, They are kind of depicting the heart of the Messiah or the heart of God's people. And it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, I do not find rest. The point of that psalm is not highlighting God's lack of faithfulness, because God is there. God is faithful and God does save. But it's the fact that even God's people have times where things seem dim. If you look at the Israelites, some of the battles didn't go so well. Jesus was tempted by Satan, and Jesus actually cried this on the cross. Jesus had a little bit of an undulation, you might say. He was at a trough season, where it seemed like things were not favorable to Jesus. That was a rough 24 hours for the man. But God was still there. God had not forsaken him. His heart in the flesh, he felt as if God had forsaken him, and God did pour out his wrath on his son at the cross, but he brought him back to life 3 days later. And I actually think it was, the more I kind of agree with you, Ian, that is a pretty good Easter egg. You know, what greater trough is there, than identifying one that Jesus went through? And in the Psalms, Jesus used it. But it really is the heart of every believer at times. We have our trough moments, and it's okay. God is there. God is with us through it.
Absolutely. If you read through the psalm as well, I love the way it goes into your base. But I am a worm. I am a man with a reproach of men and despised by people. It's almost that self-deprecating that he does within there. It's almost a situation where a lot of believers go through when they do, one, doubt God and then feel bad about it, that all of a sudden they're, why am I, I'm not worthy, I'm useless. And that's not good too, because that's petty. And I think you've got to come out of that with, again, back to that constant of, you've got to ride the trough out. Yes, you're going to go through these moments of doubt during that. That's absolutely natural. But know that this too shall pass. And you will be soon in one of those high seasons. And usually the low seasons are all forgotten. Very few people, I think, remember this, especially the shallow troughs.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so here's the thing, though. Like, We believe as Christians, God is faithful. We believe that we've been called to joy. We believe that life abundant and life in the fullest and life eternal is the life that God has for us. But I really, at times I've been this person and definitely come through certain churches and stripes that have this emphasis where it's just like things are always happy, bubbly, cheesy. And if we are going to be Christians pursuing joy and happiness, we also have to be real. We have to be emotionally honest. And that's the nice thing about the Psalms. The fact that we have trough seasons doesn't negate God's goodness, and it doesn't negate his faithfulness, but it gives us emotional categories to process the trying times. You know, imagine hanging out with a friend who's going through a really, really difficult time, and it has challenged his faith, but he's not wavering. I mean, this guy could read Psalm 22 word for word. And that's his story right now. But it's also his story that God is good and God is faithful. So I think it's really good to just be emotionally honest, because joy is not happy and bubbly. Joy is peace in the presence of God through the ups and the downs.
Right.
And it's when we're in the downs that we're so tempted to be pulled away from it. And it's so good to know it's probably normal. It's part of the human experience, and it's even part of life with Jesus on this earth.
You know, the reason I tied it back as well to that passage out of Mark, and I wouldn't just do Mark 6:36. I would go from 34, where he's also talking about, you know, when he called the people to himself with his disciples, also he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And I think that's the essence of this, which is when you're in a trough, usually the things you're worried about are very worldly things. You've lost sight of Jesus being your constant. So you're not following, you're not taking up your cross, you're not willing to pick it up. You're just moaning about it, right? And I think we all go through a bit of this.
Right.
But at the same time, I think having that as a conscious memory that you go back to and say, that's right, I have Jesus, so I'm going to be fine, regardless of what it is. And I've told the story before about my son who had a severe brain injury. The drive all the way to the hospital that took 2 hours, I don't think once on the drive up there, and this is speaking honestly, I don't think my wife has fallen, but I never had any doubt that it wouldn't work out well.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something in me that said, Ian, it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that way. But it's that having that idea that Jesus Christ is there for you during even the worst times with health issues. And I would even say this as well. You know, people get old and people die. Tragedies happen. If you have faith, they've gone back to the Father. And when my mother passed away, I said she's gone home, and there was a very little sadness in me because of that feeling that this is the way it was supposed to work out. She was supposed to return to the Father.
Hmm.
Your life has to end at some point, or else we're a rock.
Right.
Right? Kind of useless.
There's an end to it. Yeah, it gives it a meaning.
Yeah, right. And I think that's important for people to know as well, where if you are going through as a listener now and your low point is somebody struggling and approaching death, rather than thinking about their demise, think about the life they lived. And whether they're able to, one, have known Jesus, and two, have that chance for grace to go and basically be with him for eternity at this point in time. That's a win. It's not a loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's good to have that perspective through the trough seasons.
Yeah.
Remember that that's kind of the end zone that we're all working towards.
Yeah. You know? And I think, like I said, if that middle line is Jesus Christ and the peaks and valleys are above it and below it, I think you shallow those troughs and you don't look for such high highs all the time.
Right.
You'll get them. You'll get that joy, which is, I think, is more of a constant above rather than a peak. Like you said earlier, those short-term things are those spikes that you get. But you shallow out the troughs because all of a sudden you don't make a bigger deal out of things. Like, you don't make mountains out of molehills.
Right.
And you don't look at it as woe is me and then fall into Psalm 22.
I think it's true. I always say, like, I try not to ride my wins too big. I try not to bemoan my losses too much. Don't ride the highs too high or the lows too low. Stay a little bit. You know, it just protects you. Helps regulate your emotions a lot more. But I also do. Again, there's a natural element of joy and peaks, and there's a natural element of sorrow and sadness and depression. God created the entirety of the human emotion spectrum, and God also experiences that entirety of the emotion spectrum as well. That's part of the aspect of us being created in His image. But definitely as fallen creatures bound by the flesh, it's good to know that when we're in the trough seasons, we are tempted by a lot. We are, the enemy kind of does prefer us there. We're better targets for him. And it's good to know how he attacks. And it's good to remember this is a temporary thing. I shouldn't question the big things of life. Jesus is still there. Even the Lord is still there. Jesus felt that pain, that same trough. It's coming back around, and stand strong when the lows are upon us, and know that the Lord's going to be with us as we ride it out, in a sense.
I just read it again, what you sent me, where you were looking at the Easter egg as being that 1 Timothy 4:4-5.
Mm-hmm.
Now that makes sense.
Oh, really? Yeah. How'd you connect that dot there? Yeah.
Well, because it's, you know, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. And yeah. I think that's where, like when we were talking about death, life is made by God. Death is received by God. The things we are given, even if we toil and we get them ourselves, or but God's guiding us. So Everything is created by God is good.
Even the toil, even the bad things, even the hard things in life might not necessarily be a result of sin. So I put real quick, if you're going to mention it, I put that in there as an Easter egg, specifically talking about the section where Screwtape basically admits, you know, we even tried to manufacture joy, but it didn't, you know, it basically, like, we tried it in a lab, couldn't come up with anything, because joy is only from God. And I think the thing is there that Screwtape is going to tempt us when we're in the troughs with things that God designed for good, for pleasure. That's the sexuality, and, you know, at times even food and things like that, things that God created for good. He's going to abuse those things in our lives and twist them and distort them to make those things result in, you know, a negative effect on humankind. But that shouldn't make us shy away from them, because God literally did design all things for good. That was kind of where my Easter egg came from on that one. God designed all of the pleasures. He says it. God designed all the pleasures. All things were created by God for us to be able to enjoy His creation and ultimately enjoy Him. It's supposed to point, everything points back to the Lord. But life itself, even the hardship of life. Here's another little Easter egg that ties into all this. The command for man to work the field. We were supposed to put dominion over the earth and work the field. We're supposed to labor and, in a sense, toil. That was before the curse.
Right.
That was part of God's perfect design for humanity before we screwed it up. Now, additional toil came and the ground started fighting back because of the curse. But God created, even in a sense, you might say, the hard times, and to whatever extent they're made more painful because of the curse. Pain is a result of the curse, for sure. God redeems them, and He can redeem the years the locusts have eaten, even. So even the hard times are things that God can use, and it's something we're to be thankful in all things, for sure.
Yeah, so this is letter 9, the biblical Easter eggs. It's a fascinating one. If you're out there listening and you've got some ideas as well, go on to screwtapeletterspodcast.com. Let us know your thoughts as well. As we're finishing off the book as well, we're adding in extra little things that are pointed out that maybe we missed and are interesting there as well. So until next time, we'll see you again on season 2, Screwtape Letters Podcast, doing the biblical Easter eggs.